This episode is brought to you with the help from PowerTech Fitness, a global leader in premier strength equipment celebrating over 20 years of being committed to stronger lives. Please visit them on Facebook, Instagram, or their website at www.powertech.com.
Good morning, everyone. This is Brandon Matloff in Los Angeles. Welcome to the Stella Oak Mavens podcast, where we feature different mavens in different fields. A maven is an expert of an expert. They are the go-to person who you would want to ask all the questions to before making a decision. The purpose of our podcast is to help the consumer be more knowledgeable. Today, I am very excited to spend some time with Mike Galketsis. He graduated from UC Santa Barbara. From there, he worked as an environmental scientist for 4 years, becoming the VP of FrugoRest, a provider of geointelligence used in large-scale construction. After 11 years as the vice president, Mike and three others founded Rincon Consultants under Mike's leadership. Rincon has grown to a company of over 250 employees and 13 offices throughout California. They provide environmental consultations and assistance on projects. I'm excited to learn about some of them, including the California High-Speed Rail project and the Broad Beach Restoration project. Welcome, Mike.
Thank you, Brandon. Nice to be here today.
So what first drew you to consulting?
Yeah, I think what caught my interest in environmental consulting was just a love of outdoors, hiking, again, enjoying nature, but also the curiosity with science and actually seeing, you know, things change, cities growing and more traffic. I just thought to myself, you know, gosh, what would be an interesting profession to effectuate and influence the future and change?
So it sounds almost like you had a passion for the outdoors or doing something, and then it kind of correlated into the career. Did you grow up feeling like this was going to happen? Was this a calling for you? Was there a career switch in mind that you thought you might have to take in?
No, not really. I grew up, from a single mom in the LA area. I kind of grew up at the beach and, worked from being very young. And candidly, I really didn't know what I wanted to do when I grew up and just, you know, started getting involved in things I was interested in. And again, just, I would say, sort of fell into it. But, you know, while at UCSB, I think I was fortunate that there was a lot of activism, a lot of interest in the environment, and some really great courses that I was able to explore.
So if you could go back and bring us back to Mike's, you know, UCSB days, if you can kind of remember, you're 19, 20 years old, you know, what did you do on campus to give you an opportunity to be in the space? You said you were getting involved, but what does that mean?
Yeah, well, I started out in school thinking, I started on the pre-med track. So this curiosity and interest in science was always something that I had. And there was a problem, though, is I was not really good with, you know, giving blood or being in hospitals. So about 2.5 years in, I did some soul searching on, well, you know, gosh, I don't think I'm going to be a doctor. What else might be out there? And I happened to have some crossover biology and environmental science classes, and they just seemed to pique my interest much more than the really in-depth chemistry and physics and calculus and biochemistry, some of the really hard technical sciences. So I got involved in just some environmental policy work and following local environmental issues and understanding the process of local government, which really affects, you know, the communities, you know, closest to where you live. And they really affect you really much more than, let's say, national environmental policy. It's the local big box that gets approved, you know, two blocks away from your house that really affects the traffic and the parking, et cetera. So I became interested on how that all works and, you know, how, you know, I might be able to influence, you know, having better development, smarter development, more compatible development within the communities that I lived in.
You mentioned your mom. Did you have another mentor at UCSB that kind of helped you guide through this path, or did you really navigate it on your own?
That's a great question. It's interesting. I had a lot of great instructors at UCSB. I would say, you know, in my life, I always reflect back, and I think of three things that really influenced my success a lot. And one was, and you might find this a little surprising, but one was working in restaurants when I was young. That really taught me customer service and organization. And, you know, I don't know that everybody realizes how difficult it is to, you know, wait on tables and tend bar and attend to a lot of people's needs all at once. So one of the experiences I had that helped my success, I think, was waiting on tables, working in restaurants. I also played on a high school soccer team, kind of under the, I wasn't a great athlete, but I played for the John Wooden, if you will, of high school soccer. And then I would say equally, I give credit to my education. So really those three areas in particular, you know, doing customer service in the restaurant industry, working on playing on a championship team, and then, you know, having a broad education. I think those all three equally helped me at different stages in my life. Ultimately, I added a fourth as I've gotten older, and that was parenting. And I think we'll get into some questions. I might share some thoughts later.
Let's shift focus maybe to the business side a little bit. Can you tell us maybe some of the things that Rincon does to make these changes tangible?
Yeah, that's always a challenge, you know, in, I'd say, environmental consulting, you know, as a business practice, because we're really hired to, you know, help our clients, including local government, local communities, develop long-range planning documents, bring ideas to communities. But a lot of times you go into communities and they have their own ideas, they have their own politics. Some ideas work fantastic in one community and they're not something that another community is really ready or really willing to engage in. I think one area that's really fascinating right now is in the greenhouse gas climate action planning. That's really one of the more prominent topics in California. Essentially, you know, what's going on in California is really a transformation of kind of how we look at communities and kind of re-examining, you know, some of the things that we've done historically. And I'm going to go mostly to transportation. You know, historically, California is built out as, you know, with freeways and you know, lots of automobile-related transportation. Northern California has had the benefit of having things like BART and communities built around, well-developed and highly functional transit systems. But for the most part, Southern California has missed that. And so as the population grows in California, as the alternatives, like building new airports, new roads, et cetera, are more and more expensive, this notion of building communities where there's fewer vehicle miles traveled or shorter trips, you know, and so things like mixed use development, you know, building around transit centers to where you can, you know, jump on a metro or a bus. It's not something that everybody is doing these days, but I think as the state grows and there's more population and the transportation infrastructure gets stronger and easier to use, I think that's what we're going to see. We're going to see California operating a lot like San Francisco operates with BART and just fewer cars on the road, if you will.
I'm itching to find out what happened with the bad boss that you did learn something from.
Well, it's interesting in leadership. You know, what I found is that you have these ideas, you have these things that you want to get done, you have these aspirations, if you will, and you really can't do those. You can't really accomplish. You can accomplish so much on your own, but really, the most effective leaders are the ones that are going to, leverage the interest and enthusiasm of others, and actually, and sometimes more enthusiasm than you even have to accomplish various goals. And to me, it really comes down to something pretty simple: is how do you make other people feel? And so, there were times when my bad bosses, if you will, didn't make me feel very motivated, didn't make me love my job, didn't make me love the company. As a matter of fact, they made me feel, you know, pretty, very unsatisfied and very disillusioned. And so as I've evolved to being a leader and being a boss, those lessons are pretty clear, and I never want to be that boss who is not making somebody feel empowered, feel good about themselves, even if they haven't really performed at the level you hope they had performed at. Making somebody feel terrible about their performance doesn't really help them to perform better. So really, the key word I think there is my past bosses have made me feel have squashed my enthusiasm at times when there was really no need to do that. So I never want to do that to other people.
That totally makes sense. So how do you encourage a struggling producer or a struggling team member or employee, like however you define the role you're talking about, how do you motivate somebody who's maybe underperforming?
Yeah, it's the challenge of managing people and in consulting. Really, our whole business is built around people and billing for time, like an accountant or an attorney, and so. I think the real challenge is that different people are motivated in different ways. And so there really isn't one way to motivate. If there was, you'd kind of patent it and you're off to the races and, I'd be retired already. But I think the key thing is trying to connect with everybody as to really what motivates them, trying to understand what motivates them, what their interests are. And candidly, sometimes their motivations are not suited for the business that they've chosen. And they don't really know it yet. And so there are people that I've worked with that ultimately evolved out of the organization that are very grateful that they were evolved out of the organization because it really wasn't a good match. So I think it's kind of a convoluted answer to you really have to talk to people, understand what motivates them, have a clear set of company values and goals, and a clear understanding of what we're trying to accomplish as an organization. For Rincon, it's always been about creating a professional platform for people to, provide for their families, pursue their careers. We really try to keep the word profit out of our conversations, even though profits are what, fuel the business or make the platform, functional. We really kind of focus on people and then focus on, having a formula, if you will, or a process of providing our services and excellence, and the profits follow versus leading with a lot of reports and performance guidance. We're pretty light on that, and we're again very focused on the person.
Awesome. Well, thank you, Mike. And before we wrap up, is there anything else you'd like to share, or if someone has some curiosity about Rincon, how they could learn more or keep in touch?
Well, I talk to a lot of people, and I try to pride myself on being available. And, so I would say anybody, listening is welcome to reach out, send me an email, mike@rinconconsultants.com. Again, I do everything I can to get back to everybody, and I would just say follow us, and again, feel free to reach out.
Great. Well, thank you, Mike. I've really enjoyed the conversation today. I understand that it's all about finding out what motivates the people who you care about most to help you develop what you're working on. And so our listeners will be able to take that and apply it for their own careers and futures at ahead. This has been a Stella Oak Mavens podcast production. We empower you, the listener, to take control of your life.